Okay, so the very next phrase in Parshas Kisavo, remember we're reading the Haggadah, the section called Seir Lamad. Seir Lamad is centered upon a four-pasuk synopsis of Yetzias Mitzrayim from Parshas Kisavo. Pasuk number one talks about the descent to Mitzrayim. Pasuk number two talks about the slavery and the bondage. Pasuk number three talks about the prayer. Pasuk number four talks about the redemption. We're making our way slowly through each of these psukim and their constituent elements, because the Haggadah, whoever wrote the Haggadah, and it was compiled over time, but whoever wrote this Medrash dissected and deconstructed the psukim into little bites. This phrase, this phrase, this phrase. So this is the second phrase in the section in Kisavo. Avrami Ovedavi, we know that, we spoke about that last time. Vayered Mitzrayim. So when you and I read the pasuk in Kisavo, Vayered Mitzrayim, there's nothing exciting here. Avrami Ovedavi, it's a strange language. Why would Yaakov be described that way? Who is the Avrami? What's the Ovi? We talked about that last time. Vayered Mitzrayim seems very descriptive. Yaakov went to Mitzrayim, and let's continue the story and see what happened when Yaakov was in Mitzrayim. Yet the Haggadah stops us, halts us, and says, wait a second. Vayered Mitzrayim. Four words. Anus al pi hadibor. That's the drash of the Haggadah. Anus al pi hadibor. Interesting. Yaakov was coerced to descend to Mitzrayim based on Hashem. Anus, he was forced, he was an ones, al pi hadibor, because Hashem forced him to al pi hadibor. Wait a second. I'm not an expert in Parshas Vayigash, but I can read Parshas Vayigash like anyone else. And you read Parshas Vayigash, and Yaakov decides to go to Mitzrayim because he wants to see Yosef. So what does it mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced him down to Mitzrayim? So we have two challenges today. One is, Naftali, I can't see you because of the shtender. One challenge is, what is the Haggadah mean? No! Careful, careful. Okay, we have a little accident here. Sperm fell. Okay, we'll continue because we're recording. We'll take care of it a little bit later. Leave it at this for now. Okay, when I was listening to the recording, a couple sperm just fell as we tried to move a shtender. Okay, so number one is, what does it mean that he was honest al pi hadibor? What does that even mean? He went down on his own volition. Number two is, why does it matter? Like, why is the guy recording this? Whatever honest means, has it help us better understand the story? Right, so we're going to break down today's share. Don't worry, it's going to be a quick share. Into two parts. Number one is, what does it mean? First, let's, like a good lambdan, let's define it. What does it mean he was coerced, he was compelled? It doesn't sound that way from Parshas Vayigash. Number two is, why is this important? Like, why does this help us understand? So you have to read Vayigash carefully. I'm not going to read it, right? You don't have a Tanakh in front of you, but trust me, we'll read it, just some basic highlights. There's a difference between Yaakov's original plan to descend to Mitzrayim and his ultimate descent to Mitzrayim. And the way you realize that something shifts in Be'er Sheva when he stays over at night in Parshas Vayigash is there are several hints. Hint number one is, this is the only time that anyone in Parshas, in Sefer Bereishis, brings a korban. He gets to Be'er Sheva and he brings korban. It's Vayizbach Zvachim, Lokei Aviv Yitzchak. The only other korban in Sefer Bereishis is the Akedah. So his descent to Be'er Sheva, because Akai and Hevel, but I'm saying from the Avos. So his descent, Noach B'lez Mizbeach, his descent, there are mizbechos, but no korbanos, except for, I can't have it, but it's pre-Avos. So there's something important about this descent. Number two, when Hashem comes to him at night, he says, Hineni. That's an Akedah word, Hineni. Yitzchak never says Hineni. Avram only says Hineni once at the Akedah. And this is the only time Yaakov says Hineni, even though Hashem came to him in the past. Number three, this is the only time that Hashem speaks to Yaakov directly in a non-dream setting. Remember? In Parshas Vayetzeh, by the ladder, that's a dream. Yaakov's asleep. In the end of Parshas Vayetzeh, Hashem tells him to come back. Hashem doesn't come, and Malach comes to him and tells him to go back. This is the only time Hashem comes to speak to Yaakov, not in a dream, but b'maros ha'layla. That's the lashon of the pasuk. So there's something happening in Parshas Vayigash. Even though Yaakov wants to descend, something's happening. What's happening? So if you read the pasuk right before he goes to Be'er Sheva, I'll just translate it into English for you. Yaakov says, oh, Yosef's alive. I want to go see him before I die. Let's all go. It's a visit. We don't have time to visit Yosef. Spend a couple weeks, catch up on old times, and I'll go to a couple restaurants, kosher restaurants, and I'll go back. That was his plan. Or maybe Yosef will come back. Maybe Yosef can't come back. He's already settled in Mitzrayim. All of a sudden, something happens, and Hashem comes to him and says, Al tira merdam Mitzrayim. Don't be afraid to go to Mitzrayim. You're going to be a big, great nation. We're talking about being a great nation. I just want to go for a couple of weeks to be with Yosef. Then Hashem says, Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayim. Second time, ered, vayered. Al tira merda Mitzrayim, Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayim, Anochi al cha gam alob, I'll take you out of Mitzrayim. Basically, Hashem is telling Yaakov, you think you're going for a few weeks? There's a whole different story happening. You're going to start the galus now. You're going to a several multi-hundred year galus. Remember, we know that it ended 210 years later, but they didn't know that. And you're going to be a raid to Mitzrayim. Al tira merda Mitzrayim, Anochi eredim cha Mitzrayim, kilagagadol asim chasham. This is not the trip that you thought, you know, a couple of weeks to see Yosef. You're now going down to Mitzrayim and you're starting the galus. That's the shift. That's why Hashem comes to him and speaks to him. That's why there's Kabanos, it's an Akedah. Because Yaakov doesn't really want to go to Mitzrayim. He wants to go to Mitzrayim to spend some time with Yosef. But he certainly doesn't want to go to galus. He doesn't want to be there for several hundred years. He's not going to live several hundred years, but he and his family. And Hashem says, you know what? You need to be in galus right now. I need history to move forward. And you need to go to Galus, and that's your Akedah. Your Akedah right now is to be outside of Eretz Yisrael. Yitzchak's Akedah was Shechita, the Akedah. Your Akedah is, you don't want to be in Galus, you need to be in Galus right now because of my master plan that I sat in front of the Avos. And that's why Yaakov is saying Hineni, that's why it's such a big deal. Hashem is coming to him at night, not in a dream, but he's speaking to him directly. And all of a sudden, you start to see that the whole narrative shifts. How do you see the narrative shifts? Again, this is a more of a Parshas HaShavuot, Shir and Vayigash, I don't want to take too much time. But first of all, before he gets to Be'er Sheva, he's traveling in the Agalot that Yosef sends. After this meeting with Hashem, he travels in the Agalot that Paro sent. Now, it's just, it may be, you know, who cares which Agalot, but it's very symbolic that initially he was traveling on Yosef's dime. Yosef was saying, come now, we'll go together, I'll buy your ticket, we'll send you back. Now he's submitting to be part of Paro's apparatus and part of Paro's culture. Second is, after Hashem comes to him, what does it say? Vayakom Yaakov Be'er Sheva, he gets up from Be'er Sheva. Vayisu b'nei Yisrael as Yaakov Aviyam. Now Am Yisrael is carrying Yaakov down because he's being carried on the wings of Am Yisrael's future. Listen to the story. Es tapam, es neshehem, the wives, es miknehem, their cattle, es rechusham asher sheberetz Kenan, all their belongings. Vayvo mitzvayim ha Yaakov, v'chol zaro ito, banav uvnei beso, v'banav ito, benosav, benos banav, his son's sons and his daughter's sons and his son's daughters and his son's daughters. There's a lot of extra words here. Chol zaro v'yitam Mitzrayim. Basically, before this story in Be'er Sheva, he was just going with his family to visit. Now he's taking everyone, lock, stock, and barrel, his sons, his daughters, his son's sons, his son's daughters, his daughter's sons, his daughter's daughters, everyone with him to Mitzrayim because he has submitted to the galus. So that's the first part of our Shia. He wasn't going to galus. Yaakov was going for a couple weeks for Ben Azmanim to see Yosef, get some skiing done. I don't know, I'm sorry, no skiing. See the pyramids, no pyramids yet. And then go back to Eretz. Then go back to Eretz Yisrael. He doesn't want to be in Galus. He already did Galus for 20 years. Shem says, back in the pool. History needs you to be in Mitzrayim right now, and you're down. Now the question is, why is this important? Why do we read about it? The answer is, and this is going to be a little controversial, but important, especially if you're listening to it in Petach Tikva or Anana, it's going to be controversial. If you're listening to it in Teaneck or in Toronto, it's maybe important to hear. But sometimes history needs for a Jew to be in Galus, because there's important work to be done in Galus. And again, in the end of time, no one should be in Galus. Certainly the more Jews that come here, if they don't need to be there historically. But Yaakov right now doesn't want to be in Chutz Laaretz. Hashem is saying, I need you to be in Chutz Laaretz right now for all sorts of historical calculations. And that's your Akedah. And you have to say Hineni. It's exactly parallel to the Akedah. So this is setting a pattern in history that sometimes Jews have to be in Galus, even though they don't want to be. And that could be taken many ways, but sometimes history calls you, and you need to be outside of Eretz Yisrael, and it's painful. When I go to Chutz Laaretz, I'm going just for a day this week, I'm not going to see that many people, it's going to be in and out, but and people tell me how hard it is to be in Chutz Laaretz right now. I really, it sounds strange, because it's hard to be in Eretz Yisrael, it's really hard to be in Chutz Laaretz because you feel so disconnected. You don't feel part of the experience, and you really want to be part of the experience. Okay, but you need to be there for all. So it's a reason. Maybe some people don't need to be there. I'm not judging people's lives, but the second reason that this is important, I'll just be very brief, is that this is creating another mold for how we enter Galus, not for the need to be in Galus. This is the only person who ever goes to Galus in Tanakh out of his own free volition and with a red carpet. Think of everyone else who ran to Galus in Tanakh. They're running from famines. They're running from murderous brothers. They were running from, I don't know, Nebuchadnezzar was killing hundreds of thousands of Jews. They were running from the Romans. We typically see Galus, and our exit to Galus is very torturous and very, very brutal. and it's accompanied by tragedy, and it's accompanied by destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Hashem spares Yaakov that fate. This is a medrash. Ro Yaakov, in theory, Yaakov should have gone to Galus b'shar shel os shel barzel, in chains, like Yosef. That's how Yosef goes to Galus. In the back of some van, you know, some Amber Alert van, all chained up, you know, he's been kidnapped, and they're taking him down to Mitzrayim, and he doesn't know what's happening. And Yaakov is going down in a Galus, comfortable ride, an old medieval carriage, and he comes, and they all come to greet him, and the trumpets blare, and the kings are there, and they give him a nice meal, and he meets Paro the first day he's there. And Hashem had Rachmanos on Yaakov, on a personal level, but everything happens to Yaakov, myself, and Labanim. Hashem is saying there will be Jews who will have to leave Eretz Yisrael for historical reasons, and not every exit from Eretz Yisrael has to be as torturous and painful and as tragic and as dark and as brutal as we typically associate. Sometimes Jews will have to leave, not just Eretz Yisrael, but leave their temporary homeland. And sometimes, and this is an interesting pattern in history, let me say it as brutally honest as I can, sometimes Jews got out in time, sometimes Jews did not get out in time. But let's just put it that way. And you can go through all of history, and some Jews were able to leave in time, and they were able to walk through what I call the Yaakov gateway, and some Jews waited till it was too late and had to leave through the Yosef gateway if they left at all. So in Spain, a lot of Jews left in those 100 years between 1391 and 1492, because the pogrom started in 1391. And some Jews waited until it was too late. There's this very, very harrowing story that a Jew who lived, remember, this is a major, major empire, the Spanish Aragon and Castile Empire. So some Jew in one of the empires waited for like the last day, because he was hoping, remember, there's reason to wait for the last day of the expulsion, because, you know, you wanted to try to sell your items off. Remember, what was it like selling your items off when there was no market for it? Because anyone that would buy your house from you knew that in 3 weeks, he could just take it for free. So you got penny on the dollar. The Jews were waiting around, trying to find better buyers, whatever. And then he planned to leave on the day. And that day, just so happened, the reports were that in his section of Spain, it was very rainy. So the wheels of his cart got stuck in the mud. So he couldn't leave. So he was murdered, and his whole family, or whatever, apprehended. He just didn't get out of time. It was a question of one day and the weather. I spoke to you a couple of days ago about the laws, that the May laws in Russia. I think 19th century was horrific for Jews in Russia. So the Russian Empire, the Tsarist regime, spent 80% of their resources torturing Jews, just finding ways to issue decrees. You may have heard 1880s, the May laws. Let's not look it up. Those are like the most heinous laws. Cantonists, people, children who were taken away for 25 years to the army at the age of 5. Coppers, these were local Jews who captured kids and threw them to the Russians because there was a quota of kids that each community had to give. Horrible. What happened? 2.5 million Jews moved from the White Pale of White Russia to America and to other places. Why is that important? Because enough for the Russian anti-Semitism in the 19th century, the numbers of the Holocaust wouldn't have been 6 million, it would have been close to 8 million. Because very few Russian Jews escaped. Central European Jews were able, I mean, not most of them, but some of them were able to escape. Very few Russian Jews escaped the Einsatzgruppen and maybe moved closer, deeper into Russia, then were captured by the communists. Very few white Russian Jews who got out in time. So they're creating different patterns in history that sometimes you have to go to Golos, and also sometimes when you leave, you don't have to leave under the cover of night with people chasing you, but you can leave in a way that Yaakov left. I remember growing up, talk about intergenerational trauma and picking up trauma from your grandparents, and I remember listening to my grandfather tell me at the Pesach Seder about him running away from Hitler. And as a 7-year-old or 10-year-old, I didn't really know Holocaust history. I imagined my grandfather and an old man running down the street and Hitler chasing him in a jeep. You ran away from Hitler. You ran away, like you ran away from your friends during recess. So imagine Hitler traveling down the street. I'm going to get you, Rabbi. I'm going to get you. And you know, my grandfather was able, Baruch Hashem, if I'm here, to leave just in the nick of time. My other grandfather, my father's father, he left in the 20s, and he left through the Yaakov portal, not through the Yosef portal. Have a good Shabbos, everyone. Have a great Shabbos. Shalom.